But today we're going to conclude our series that we began weeks ago, and it's called Worship. And today's message will be, really doesn't seem like a worship message, but really it is. Because we're going to talk today about turning worry into worship. Turning worry into worship. Do you ever worry about stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever worry about, am I going to be able to pay my bills? Am I going to be able, you know, are my kids going to be okay? We just seem to live in a society that there's a lot of pressure. And worry is a big temptation that we all face. And let's say all of us face it. You may have a stressful job where there's lots of worry. And it's easy to worry. And worry is a negative thing. It's not a good thing. It's a thing that hurts us. It hurts us physically. It hurts us mentally, emotionally, and it also hurts us spiritually. And we're going to look at a verse here today, and we're going to talk about some stuff. And I'm just trusting the Holy Spirit to speak to you where you're at today. I know that if we'll open our hearts, the Holy Spirit will say to you what needs to be said to you today. When we come, we ought to come to receive. Okay? Now that's one of the reasons that we come, to receive from the Lord. And don't come to receive from me. I trust the Lord to speak through me. And I don't say that in an arrogant way, because I may just say one thing and the Holy Spirit will tell you something based on something that I said. So it's Him, it's not me. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on a person. And it's not the person that's standing up doing the speaking that's an important one. It's the person speaking through the person that's an important one. And we need to be connecting people not to personalities, but to Jesus. Because Jesus is He's not just the reason for the season. He's the reason for being. And so, enough said about that. Go with me to Matthew chapter 6. The context of this verse is very interesting, because a lot of people look at this and they think about, okay, this is addressed to people who are struggling financially. But really what he said here, what precedes these verses that we're not going to read, it says that a man cannot serve two masters. A man cannot serve two masters. He says he'll love one and hate the other. And he says man cannot serve God and mammon, or money. And really what it's saying is that man cannot serve God and the love of money. Money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. There's a big difference. You know, and there's people who commit that love of money sin that don't have a dime. They don't have a dime. But they commit that sin all the time because they're lusting for what money would do. And they think money is the answer, and they love money. So it doesn't matter where you are in this total spectrum of things. Worry can be a problem. If you don't have enough, you worry about how am I going to pay my bills. If you got a lot and you think you're worrying about somebody trying to get what you got. Okay? So, but worry is the thing that we're going to deal with. And we're going to talk about turning your worry into worship. Because we have taught during this series that worship is not something we do when we come together in the public assembly. And we come and we worship and we go home and we don't worship till we come back the next week. That is a very limited understanding of what worship is. Worship, and with our foundation scripture was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all of your strength. If we do that, that is with our spirit, our emotions, our thought processes, our intellect, and also with our bodies. Romans tells us to present our bodies a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable worship. So worship is not coming to church and lifting your hands and shouting or being reverent. That's not just worship. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is something that you do 24 hours a day. Worship is your life. It's not just something that you do. It's something that you incorporate in your whole lifestyle. And that's what worship is. So there's an attitude that creeps in when we're out of focus, where we start worrying about stuff. Either the lack of stuff, or worry about getting more stuff, or worrying about how we're going to protect what we've got. And what happens is that your source is no longer God, but your source is your bank account, your savings account, your job, your whatever it is, and you're looking to that as your source of life. Can I just tell you, God wants to be your source. He may choose your job as an avenue to get things to you. But you know what? There's times that God shows up. Have you ever had God show up when you needed, you were in need of something and you didn't understand how it was going to come to pass? I remember Kathy and I moved back from Oklahoma, and we lived in a house out at Southside. And I didn't have a job. She didn't have a job. And we had limited income. And I never will forget that it came down that we really didn't have any food in the house. And we had all three of our kids, didn't we? Yeah, Joe was born when we... No, this was... Davy's the only one we had then. I get it mixed up. But we had a baby. Baby's got to be fed. We didn't have any food in the house. I never will forget going out to the mailbox and opening the mailbox, and there was an envelope in there, and there was a check for $50. Now, that don't buy much food now, but back then, that would buy some food, okay? $50 that was totally unexpected. So God can get stuff to us, and He does. He's faithful to do that. And many of you have had instances where unexpectedly something happened that provided a need in your life. I imagine all of us have testimonies like that, how that God has come through when we lacked. But you know what? When we depend on ourselves, totally, ourselves, that we're the source of everything, we get into worry. But God wants us to depend on Him. See, He's called us to live the life of faith, not the life of doubt and worry. And it's so easy to worry. It's so easy to worry. Now, there's some folks needs to hear what I'm talking about today. It's so easy to worry. So, we're going to try to refocus some things. So let's read this. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. That's easy for God to say. He just don't understand our situation, does He? I think He does, since He's all knowledge and all knowing and all power, and He has all things. Did you know God's not poor? Did you know that on this side? God's not poor. You know what He has? The Bible says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He owns the cattle on the thousand hills. He owns the hills, and He owns the taters under the hill. He owns it all. He owns what you've got your name on. It's His. It's not yours. It's His. And God's not poor. Heaven's not poor. Heaven is extravagantly rich and lush. God doesn't lack.
That's right.
So He can get what you need to you when you need it. But you know what we have to do? We have not to worry, but to trust. We have to see, faith is about a relationship with God. When we worry, we're not trusting God the way that we should. It's a relationship problem. Worry is a relationship problem. Don't raise your hands. Do you have a relationship problem? Do you worry? If you worry, there's a relationship problem. I didn't say you wasn't saved. I just said there's something going on there that you're not looking at things right. You've got something out of focus. Because see, he said you can't serve two masters, God and money. And when we exalt money above God, guess what? Things are out of focus. Money needs to be secondary. God needs to be primary. And when God is primary, our focus changes. So we're going to learn to focus differently. Let's read on. Where was I at? Okay. Ooh. Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Father feeds them. See, what do? We sow and reap and we gather into barns. We sow and reap and we put money in our savings account. We put money in our checking account. That's our barns, okay? Unless you're a farmer and you have barns, okay? But we do that. But birds don't do that. And it says that God feeds the birds of the air. Are you not more value than they? Here's another problem. Here's another problem that we face many times. Because we look at ourselves and we see all of the negatives in our life. We see our weaknesses. We see our lack. Don't we? I mean, do you ever beat yourself up? I think I'm the champion of the world when it comes to beating me up. I got here early this morning and sitting in here just meditating. I don't know how it came about, but I kind of got to thinking about this a little bit. And it's just like the Lord spoke to me. I'm not saying, it just seemed like the Lord spoke to me and said, you focus on your weaknesses. I focus on your strengths. That set me free. You focus on your weakness. How do we see ourselves? We see our lack, our frailties, how we fall short. We see all of that. That's what sin did to us. God is not interested in what sin did. That's why he sent Jesus to remedy that. But see, God is more interested in what he put in you, not what sin did to you. Now, God sees your weaknesses. But he magnifies your strengths. He magnifies the purpose and the plan that he has for your life. So if God looks at our strengths, what do we need to look at? We need to start looking at our strengths too. We don't need to look at what we don't have to offer. We don't need to devalue ourselves. We need to value ourselves in our relationship with Christ Jesus. And you know what? If we'll do that, some of those weaknesses, some of those frailties will begin to fall off of us. And you won't be so weak in those areas of your life anymore. Because if you concentrate on weakness and you're always moaning about your weaknesses, you're not developing your strengths. You're not developing the purposes that God put in your life. You're negatively focused. We need to positively focus on what God put in us and wants to do through us. I say this all the time, and I want to say it another way because I don't want to be misunderstood. Because I think we need to deal with ourselves, certainly. But God loves you just like you are. I say this hundreds of times, and I'm going to say it for at least 7 more years. God loves you just like you are, but he loves you too much to leave you like you are. He loves you too much to leave you that way. But he doesn't do that by focusing on your weaknesses. He does it by working his plan and purpose that he put in your heart. And as you begin to accentuate that in your life, some of these weaknesses and some of these areas that you falter and fall in will begin to be transformed from the inside out by the power of God. It's transformation. It's spiritual transformation. But you're more valuable than birds. He said, are you not more valuable than them? God put clothes on those birds. He feeds the birds. They don't earn their food. They don't sow and reap and gather into barns. We do. We have advantage over birds because we're more valuable than birds. And God cares more for us than birds, and He feeds the birds. You know, the big problem is that we just have a hard time thinking that God loves us. We struggle with that so much. He loves you more than you'll ever know. Joe was talking a while ago about reckon God looking down on people worshiping. You know, it's a glorious thing when people worship. Can you imagine all over the earth the people worshiping God? Can you imagine what God does in heaven when He absorbs that worship? Can you imagine what when God pours out His love on His people, what that looks like from heaven's standpoint? See, God doesn't have to have our worship. When we worship God, He does something back at us. We say, God, I love you. He said, back at you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. See, it's bigger coming this way than it is going this way. Okay. You're valuable. God loves you. You're valuable to Him. He cares about you. He cares about what you're eating, what you're drinking, what you're wearing, where you're going. He cares about your children more than you do. He'll feed you. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Really, you can take it away. You don't add by worry, you subtract by worry. You subtract more from your life by worrying than anything else. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They don't spin their clothes. They don't labor to make clothes. They don't have a spinning wheel where they make their beauty. And yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all of his glory was arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So you're not going to the oven. You're not temporary. You're going to live forever. Amen. Why would God take such pains in making things that are temporal beautiful, that are they're just going to have their season and they're going to be beautiful and they're going to be thrown into the oven? He wants to clothe you with beauty. He wants, even more than putting clothes on your body, He wants to clothe you from the inside out with His beauty, because you are going this way. You're going to live forever. You're going to live forever. And if God put that much pain in making flowers beautiful, how much more will He not only clothe us, will He make our lives beautiful? We need to get the right perspective. See, we need focus restored. Okay, I got to read some more. Therefore, do not worry. What's that next word?
Saying.
How do we worry? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it were not for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Yeah. How do we worry? We open our mouth. Oh, whoa. How am I going to pay these bills? What am I going to do? Oh. Somebody said to me after the first service, he said, you know, God is omni, but Satan is not. He's not omnipresent. He is not omnipowerful. He's not omni-knowledge. Satan cannot read your mind. You know where he gets most of his ammunition? Out of your blab mouth. You open your mouth and you say, whoa! Don't we? I'm not excluding me from that. Yeah. Do not worry, saying. Saying what? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. You know, you don't have to tell God what you need. Now, he says for us to ask, God, I can't pay my bill. He knows that. God, I don't have enough money. He knows that. You don't have to tell him. How come we're always telling God the problem? God knows the problem. He knows the problem better than you do. In fact, you may not know what the problem is. You may see your problem as a lack of funds, and he sees your problem as a lack of trust in him. Okay. Let's don't get too tough here. Okay. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So what do we need to do? We need to get the right order back as believers. We need to get the right order back. If we're driven by making a living and money and the pursuit of stuff, we're out of order. We need to get something back into order, because when order is restored, blessing is released. When order is restored, blessing is released. He doesn't release blessing on worry. He releases blessing on faith. Faith is a trust relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. It's me knowing that He loves me unconditionally, and He has my best interests at heart, and He is working on my behalf to meet my needs because He loves me. And I can trust Him to meet my need. So how do we restore order? That's what we need to know. How do we restore order? What do we need to do? Number one, I'm going to give you three things. This is very simple, but I think it's very profound. Number one is redirect your energy. It says, we're going to read this one sentence because it has all of it in there. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God. The body of Christ needs to become kingdom-minded first. You were not put in this world to make a living. That is not your purpose for being in this world, is to make a living. Providing for your family. That is not your primary purpose. Yes, we have to do that. Yes, we have to go to work. Yes, we have to work. Yes, we have to pay our bills. But that is not your reason for being here. Your reason for being saved and your reason for being in the earth is to help promote God's kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. We need to be kingdom first mindset. Can I just say it again? You don't own anything that's got your name on it. It all belongs to Him. God gives us all things freely to enjoy. I think that we ought to enjoy life. I think we ought to enjoy living. I think God wants us to. I think He wants to bless us. But it's all His. It doesn't belong to us. And we need to leverage some of what God puts in our life towards His kingdom. Towards His kingdom. See, God is not opposed to you having stuff. But He is opposed to stuff having you. In fact, I believe God is looking for some people that He can bless financially who has a kingdom first mindset. God is not opposed to people being wealthy. He's not opposed to that. There are temptations that comes with wealth. But He's not opposed to somebody being wealthy. In fact, I think that He's looking for people that He can bless financially because they have a kingdom first mindset. Let me share a blessing with you that I just found out about last night. And we do the backpack program here at our church. In fact, we'll be receiving offerings soon. In fact, we probably need to start doing that. For next week, we'll probably receive an offering for our backpack program. What is that? Well, we have hooked up with Central School. We've adopted Central School. And there are children there that come from poor families. And they eat their meals there at the school, but on weekends, they may go all weekend and not eat. Well, that's unacceptable in our community. I said that's unacceptable in our community. And so we're trying to do our part with that school. And I'm hoping some other churches will adopt some other of the schools. And I think Southside does that. But we adopted Central School. And it cost us somewhere between $150 and $200 a week to fund that. And we have been funding that. But we got word here, and I don't know who it is. They don't go here, I don't think. But there's a person who was looking for a place to give to, and he decided when he heard about what we were doing to partner with us and has pledged $500 a month towards that. I would say, I don't know who that person is, but I would say that person has a kingdom mindset first. And because of that, I believe that God is going to bless that person tremendously because of his giving. I believe God is looking for people who will put Him first and have a kingdom first mindset, and He'll bless them. He'll bless them. We've got some people in this church that has that, and God has blessed them tremendously. But you know what? When we put ourselves first, when we put the love of money and things and stuff first, then God can't bless that. It's when we begin to refocus, when order is restored, that blessing is released. And it starts with redirecting our energy by seeking first the kingdom of God. The second one is to establish your identity. And it says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness. Well, what does that mean, our identity? Well, what is righteousness? Righteousness is right standing with God. Can I just tell you, I cannot earn right standing with God. When I try that, that's frustrating. See, this is why I said God looks more at your strengths than He does at your weaknesses. Jesus was sent to handle our sins and our weaknesses. And when I quit identifying with myself, trying to merit righteousness, and I accept the gift of righteousness that Jesus paid for on the cross, it puts me back in the right perspective. I'm establishing my identity in Christ. I don't feel like I have to perform in order to get the Lord's favor. I have the Lord's favor, therefore I perform. There's a big difference in that because we live in a society that's based on merit. You go to work and you make $20 an hour. You earn $20 an hour, or ever how much you earn. You earn $20 an hour and you give your life for that. So you're earning that. God doesn't have that kind of system. We don't merit anything with Him. Our righteousness is a gift because we cannot merit. It's impossible for us to merit His favor. He has freely given us His favor, and He also gave us His righteousness. See, Jesus took our sin. He never sinned, but He took our sin. And He gave us His righteousness, which He earned by His perfect life. So I have His righteousness. And if I can learn to live in that righteousness and quit trying to merit everything, I am reestablishing my identity. See, my relationship with God is based on His love for me and my love for Him, not what I earn from Him, because I earn nothing. That's so freeing that I don't have to earn anything from Him, that I can love Him, that He can love me. And you know what? Because of that, you will live a better life. You'll live a better life that way. So, number one, redirect your energy. Seek the kingdom first. Number two, redirect your energy. Seek His righteousness. Number three, enjoy your freedom. He says if you seek first the kingdom, seek His righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we drive? What shall we put on? How are we going to pay for our kids' education? He says if we'll put proper perspective, if we'll get out of worry and back into faith, in relationship with God, relating to Him through love and putting Him first, receiving His righteousness, all these things will be added. We don't have to worry. Now, we're going to be tempted to worry, okay? I understand that. We're going to have to deal with worry. I'm not saying it is just going to go away, but you just keep reminding yourself, Lord, I have a relationship with You, and I'm so glad that I don't have to earn favor. Lord, I put You first. You know what? He puts You first. He puts You first. Did you know that? He puts You first. He didn't put Himself first. He puts You first. So what happens when we put Him first? He'll turn around and put us first again. You see how that can grow? You can't outgive God. He puts you first. You put Him first. He puts you first. He'll add to you. He won't take away from you. He'll add to you. It's a relationship. It's love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Your neighbor is yourself. Walk and live in that love. Relate to God. Enjoy His blessing. Let's stand together. I don't know. I've enjoyed doing this series a whole lot. It stretched me. It stretched me in areas of my life that I needed to be stretched in. And I hope it stretched some of you. I've challenged some of you to become physical in your worship to God. And I hope you'll do that. It's just responding to God. He lifted out His hands for me. I lift my hands up to Him. He hung on the cross. Man, He extended them. I can extend them to heaven. That's easy. That's an easy thing to do. But you may be here today and you don't have a relationship with God, because that's where it all starts. It starts with a relationship with Him. You're not a Christian because you come to church. You got to learn that. You're not a Christian because you come to church. You don't become a car if you go into a garage, do you? You're not a Christian because you come to a church. You're a Christian because you believe and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You embrace Him and it changes your life, and you follow Him. You follow Him in baptism. You follow Him in every area of your life. It's a total transformation. But it starts with a step. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come. It starts with you stepping towards God. And a lot of times that is a commitment. No, it is a commitment. But sometimes it means coming forward and making a public profession of your faith. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and drawing you right now into a relationship with Him, we're going to give you this opportunity to respond. Any one of these will pray with you to make Jesus the Lord of your life. So as I'm going to pray a prayer, and as I do, and the praise team begins to minister, those of you who know Christ, worship Him. Those of you who need to know Christ, come and find Him. You'll find what He wants to do in your life. Awesome. Father, thank You. Thank You for this time together. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for speaking to lives and speaking into hearts. We love You today. We give You all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, let's worship. Let's worship. Respond to the Lord.
Amazing grace.